Why do some homes just feel right? The science of flow in interior design. Have you ever walked into a home and felt your shoulders drop almost before you've taken it in? You breathe a little easier without quite knowing why. It's tempting to credit the expensive sofa or the view, but the real reason is usually something quieter and harder to point at. It's the flow. Flow is the invisible architecture of a home, the subtle rhythm that lets you move, breathe, and think without resistance. It can feel like magic, but underneath it behaves a lot more like math. At Hoppler Design and Build, we design not only for how a home looks, but for how it works, emotionally, physically, and in the way it quietly shapes your mood as you move through it. The neuroscience of home. When architects talk about flow, we're pointing at something specific rather than reaching for a buzzword. The underlying idea is coherence, how easily the environment makes sense to the person inside it. Think of your attention as a battery with a finite charge. Every time you navigate a dark hallway, sidestep a poorly placed door, or hunt for a light switch that isn't where instinct expects it, your brain spends a little of that charge. Researchers call this kind of mental effort cognitive load, and while any single instance is trivial, a home full of them leaves you subtly depleted by the end of the day. The contrast is easy to feel once you're aware of it. A home with poor flow keeps demanding small navigational decisions, and the body answers with a low hum of restlessness and fatigue. A home with good flow anticipates your needs before you have to think about them, and the response is the opposite: easier breathing, looser shoulders, movement that feels intuitive rather than negotiated. The three pillars of natural flow. Building this feeling has little to do with buying better furniture. It rests on three invisible systems we map out before a single wall gets drawn. The first is circulation, the choreography of how you actually move. Water heading downhill takes the path of least resistance, and people are much the same. A well-designed plan creates a clear desire line, an unobstructed route from public spaces to private ones, and when you have to detour around a dining table to reach the kitchen, the layout has already failed you. Moving through a home should feel closer to a dance than an obstacle course. The second is light, which works as a kind of compass. People instinctively move toward light, a heliotropic pull we share with a lot of living things, and a thoughtful design uses that instinct to guide you. A window placed at the end of a corridor draws you forward almost without your noticing, while dimmer, warmer pools of light in a reading nook quietly signal that this is a place to stop and rest. Light does far more than illuminate a room. It tells you where to go. The third is zoning, which manages mood as you cross from one kind of space to another. Every room benefits from a threshold, a felt transition between the social energy of a living room and the restfulness of a bedroom. And when those zones blur together too abruptly, the whole home reads as chaotic. One of the quietest tools for this is compression and release, gently lowering a ceiling in a hallway before it opens into a larger living room, so the body registers that the activity has changed before the mind consciously does. The energy friction test. Have you ever stood in an apartment that was luxurious on paper, marble floors, high ceilings, and still felt faintly on edge? That's friction, and it happens when the layout works against your biology instead of with it. A door that opens into another door, a kitchen island crowded too close to the counter, a sight line that lands you on a messy mudroom the instant you walk in, each of these creates a small daily drag that no amount of expensive stone can smooth over. The hard truth is that fixing flow after the walls are up stops being design and becomes demolition, which is exactly why we spend weeks on the floor plan before anyone starts talking about finishes. Flow and the reality of a Manhattan co-op. In New York, there's a layer to all of this that rarely comes up until it's too late to change cheaply. Improving flow sometimes means moving a kitchen or a bathroom, and in most co-op and many condo buildings, that ambition runs straight into the wet over dry rule, which generally prohibits placing a new wet area, plumbing, a bath, a kitchen, over a neighbor's dry living space below. The rule exists to protect the apartment underneath from leaks, and it means the ideal circulation diagram on paper isn't always the one the building will approve. A kitchen you'd love to relocate for better flow may be effectively anchored where it is, or may require raised floors, extensive filings, and board sign-off to move even a few feet. This is why flow in a Manhattan renovation has to be planned around the building's plumbing cores and alteration rules from the very first sketch, rather than discovered as a constraint halfway through. A designer who knows co-op work designs the flow within those limits from the start. How to spot good flow before you buy. If you're touring properties, look past the staging furniture and trust your body instead. Step through the entrance and notice whether your eye is drawn naturally toward a window or left, searching for a focal point. Picture yourself walking to the kitchen at 2 in the morning and ask how many corners and obstacles are in the way. Notice whether you'd reach for a lamp in the middle of the day. Flow doesn't show up in the square footage, yet it's the whole difference between a house and a sanctuary. The quiet sense that a home anticipates you. One of our clients put it best after their renovation, saying it felt like the apartment knew them. That recognition, a space shaped around how a person actually lives, is the only kind of luxury that really lasts. Underneath it all sit a handful of consistent principles. We create clear desire lines between zones, use natural and artificial light as a subconscious navigator, mark transitions with shifts in ceiling height, eliminate awkward door swings and pinch points in circulation, and keep the whole plan aligned with natural human habits and, in New York, with the building's plumbing and alteration rules. Frequently asked questions, which common layout mistakes most often disrupt natural movement through a home. Poor flow usually traces back to a plan that ignores how people actually move. The frequent culprits include long or narrow corridors that eat usable square footage, door conflicts where several doors open into the same spot, and rooms you can only reach by passing through another room. Furniture that blocks circulation paths causes its own friction, as does over-segmentation into too many small, disconnected rooms, abrupt transitions between public and private zones, and the absence of any clear arrival space when you walk in. In New York specifically, misplaced kitchens and bathrooms are a particular issue, since the wet over dry rule limits how freely those wet areas can be relocated during a renovation, meaning a plumbing fixture stranded far from the building's cores can be genuinely difficult and expensive to move. Any of these can make daily life feel like work, even in an apartment that photographs beautifully. How can buyers identify good flow in a property before purchasing or renovating? Good flow comes down to clarity, ease, and intuitive movement, and a few things reliably signal it. Look for logical zoning, where the living, dining, and kitchen areas sit together and the private rooms are set apart. Notice whether you can understand the space visually the moment you enter, and whether the circulation paths are short and direct, rather than routing you through unnecessary hallways and detours. Check that doors don't clash with each other or block furniture, that spaces connect without jarring changes in level or direction, and that rooms feel usable rather than carved down by the paths running through them. The simplest test is to walk through the space, physically or just in your head, and imagine an ordinary day, arriving home, cooking, working, resting. If that sequence feels natural and unobstructed, the flow is probably strong.